Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel. Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a really important show today, a show that I've wanted to do for such a very long time. It's two topics that we're covering today, and both of them equally important. One of them is actually part of a mission that we've been on the show for quite some time. We're going to talk about raising cattle to address poverty and malnutrition in the third world. We always hear about feeding the world. And whenever people talk about feeding the world, they think of agriculture. They think of corn and soy and rice and wheat and shipping this stuff all over the world to people. But in a study that we covered a couple months ago, we discovered that families who have animals tend to be much more prosperous and do much better in these same communities where other people seem to be starving. We're going to get to the bottom of that in just a moment with Hillary Hadigan. Then at the top of the second hour, a very, very important discussion for women. Breast arterial calcification could actually be a sign of something more serious. We're going to be talking to Dr. Peter Schnatz about that, so you won't want to miss that either. Just a reminder, purchasepeptides.net, 30% off all of their peptides when you use the coupon code SHR. I'm getting lots of emails from people saying, I can't believe how much money I saved. This is ridiculous. Only Superhuman Radio offers you this deep of a discount. They are not a paying sponsor, by the way, but I believe in their products so greatly that we promote them. And I said, look, don't pay to be a sponsor. Give my audience the discount. And so that's what they've done. So this discussion is something I've really wanted to talk about. Hi, Hillary Hadigan. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
I have written about this topic in and around it over the years, because when you apply critical thinking, this idea that we have to grow agricultural crops here in the United States and ship them to far off countries to feed the world, while that may be one component of helping starving communities, we overlook something today. And quite frankly, if you look at the reason why we overlook it, it's really all about emotional ties to animal husbandry and what people think about animal husbandry. But after the study we did, and you remembered the study, it was from the University of Illinois, right?
Mm-hmm. I do, yeah.
And
very close to it.
And we discovered that families that had, let's say, a cow, it wasn't about processing the cow and eating the beef. The cow could pull a wagon. The cow could pull implements to plant crops. The cow could produce milk. It's all these other side values, and that actually causes the family to be able to earn money with their animals, as well as provide sustenance for their own families. And then a light bulb went off my head and went, holy mackerel, when we talk about teaching the world about animal husbandry instead of growing crops, I forgot about the extrinsic value of owning animals.
Mm-hmm. So just to give an example, one of the biggest changes we see is in Asia, where families own water buffalo and use them for their production of rice. And it's because they use them as basically a plow to be able to till the land, etc. But that makes a huge difference. And it's one of the big contributors in terms of the size of change that we see in our program. So yeah, animals can be used for many things. Our biggest investments are in dairy animals, and again, that doesn't require slaughter of animals, and they're kept in very, we teach animal husbandry, so they're kept in very good conditions. So yeah, animals can make a big difference in many ways other than meat.
The picture that we have for today's show is a young African boy who is working what looks like about 8 or 9 cows, but he's using them to thrash the crop that they just harvested. So these cows actually do work. It's not about turning them into cuts of beef. It's about their contribution to the entire farming process. We forget about, isn't it?
That's absolutely right. And for many smallholder farmers, they're working in very integrated agriculture ways, even on a small homestead. And so they can't afford to have livestock for a single purpose of meat and not use them for anything else. So, yeah, livestock can be used in multiple ways, definitely. And to help with other aspects of the agriculture production that is happening on their very small plots of land.
I mean, and then we can look at another extreme, and we can look at the Maasai, right? They raise cows, and what they do is they siphon off small amounts of blood from each of the cows, and they use that blood to create a porridge that they drink, and they use that as their food. So these cows are revered. They're not tortured. They're not abused like we think of here in the United States, you know, cows stuck in a little confine until they're ready for processing. These cows are like part of the family.
Very much so. And they're precious. And if you think of the price of a cow to the types of families that Heifer is working with, it's very valuable. And so no wonder it's revered. You know, it's a very valuable asset. And especially where they're producing milk or they are used for draft, they're very regenerative. So you have to look after your cow. It means a lot in your family's life. It's not simply you know, the animal that we're going to get meat from, but it's an ongoing source of productive asset to the household. So they're very important, and people treat them as such.
So the organization that you're with is Heifer International, and the website is heifer.org. Talk about this organization. When was it created? Who was the founder? What is the mission?
Okay. So the founding is a great story in relation to your interest today, because it was founded by a man called Dan West, and he was a member of the Church of the Brethren from he was from the Midwest, and he had a farm, and he was a member of the Church of the Brethren.
Okay.
And he was a conscientious objector, and he was in Spain during the Spanish Civil War distributing powdered milk to the people who didn't have any food because of the war.
Okay.
And children would come in line, and if he was running out of milk, he'd have to look and think, who shall I give this to? Who is most likely to survive and therefore distribute the food? And he looked around him, and he could see green fields, and he thought, this is crazy. These people could be producing their own food if they were able to get on and use the land. So he came back and shared his thinking with his fellow farmers and churchgoers, and came up with the idea of them donating a cow from their own farm so that they could send them to places in need. And by the time they'd figured out how to do that and how to ship, the war was on in Europe, so they couldn't send to Europe. So the first shipment went to Puerto Rico, and it was 14 heifers. And a heifer, in case people don't know, a heifer is a young female cow that has not yet produced a calf. So the heifers were shipped, but they were pregnant heifers. So when they arrived in Puerto Rico, 14 families received them, and very quickly those cows had the offspring, and the offspring were passed on to another family. And so a core part of the program that Heifer has is passing on the gift, and it was started there. So every family that receives the gift of livestock, when that livestock reproduces, they are committed to passing on an animal to another family in need. And so they become not just the recipient of livestock, but they become a donor too in their own community. And in that way, whole communities become engaged and more prosperous and healthier because of the catalyst of this initial livestock. So that's how we started. Our mission now is to end hunger and poverty and to care for the earth. And that's a huge mission. And we've recently put some tangibility to that by looking at, in the communities where we work, what will it take to really end hunger and poverty and care for the earth. And we've set a goal for ourselves of 4 million families to a living, sustained annual living income by 2020, and farming in climate-smart ways. So we've put some measurability and focus to the mission that is a very grand mission of ending hunger and poverty, of caring for the earth.
You know, the word sustainability is thrown around today in agriculture, but what they miss is that sustainability is actually built into animal husbandry. Now, the anti-animal establishment, they will say, well, you know, you have to grow corn and soy to feed the cows. No, that is an adaptation of modern animal husbandry in places like the United States, where animals are penned up and the food needs to be brought to them. But if you allow cows and ruminant animals to be what they are supposed to be, those grassy fields that grow ubiquitously everywhere, but they can't grow corn, and they can't grow soy, and they can't grow wheat, but there is weeds and milkweed and grass everywhere. You set the cows loose on those fields. They eat that stuff, and they turn it into milk and feed other people. They have calves. This is sustainability, folks. Sustainability is about effortless increases in trajectory, where you don't need chemical pesticides, you don't need all these heroic approaches, you know, genetically modifying corn so it'll grow in granite instead of dirt. I mean, that's all nonsense. You take cows, you turn them loose on a field, and they turn the grass that no one wants and everybody wants to kill into food for you. It doesn't get better than that. And we also know now from really good studies that them eating the grass has an effect. So everybody says, well, cow flatulence is a problem. You don't get the cow flatulence if they eat grass. You only get the cow flatulence when they're eating grains like corn and soy and wheat, because their guts aren't designed to digest that stuff, so they get a lot of gas. By the way, the E. coli that kills people is not found in the guts of cows that eat grass. It's only found in the cows that eat corn, by the way. But with that being said, you turn them loose on the grass, they do what they've been doing for millions of years, and it feeds the environment. It doesn't degrade the environment like agriculture degrades the environment. Chemical pesticides, no one's talking about the effects on global warming that the hundreds of millions of pounds of petrochemical pesticides and herbicides that are being sprayed every year are contributing. We always look at gas and factories, but no one realizes that stuff they spray on the fields, that's also contributing to global warming. No one talks about that, ironically.
Yeah. So just to add to what you're saying, and in some of the areas where heifer works, land erosion is a problem. And so the in those areas, you can't just let the cows loose necessarily, but what we train people in is building what we call a zero grazing unit, which are adequate, you know, pens that are raised up slightly so that the animals can go in there. When they drop manure, it goes beneath the shed, and so then you can move the manure and use it on your land. And then in that setting, you do need to go and collect grass and fodder, which might need to be specially grown, but it does enable you then to be sure of how much food the livestock are eating so that you can manage the weight and the nutrition of the animal better. So yeah, you can, you know, there are settings where you can have free-range grazing, and there are other situations where if that's damaging to the environment, you can actually build these units and plant fodder so that you can feed them adequately. And it really, sustainability, I think, is about people, planet, and profit. It's about making them all come together and work for each other. And so taking all into account as you're thinking through what kind of livestock, what kind of care, what kind of land, for what use, I think is really important. It's a system. It's not an isolated thing. And I think with a lot of the foods that are produced to feed to livestock at a mass scale, it's not taking into account all of those three things together. So
I want to take a break. When we come back, I want to plug how people can actually contribute. If you're one of those people who at late night TV, you see Sally Struthers begging you to donate, you know, just $19 a month to feed a family of 12 in some far off country a gruel of rice powder, there's a better alternative. You can chip in and buy them a cow. And you can elevate them not only nutritionally, but elevate them socioeconomically within their community. I mean, really helping people. And you know, that old adage, I'm not a big fan of biblical statements, but that old adage makes sense. If you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day, but if you teach a man to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. We have to stop sending people corn, and we have to start sending them cows. Stay tuned.
Fit Read Nutrition understands that getting in shape can be difficult, whether it's getting to the gym or maintaining a proper diet for a busy lifestyle. Weight and fitness can often be forgotten. That's why they've created customized meal plans plus fitness programs that can help support your specific goals to get fit and eat healthy. Even during vacations and special events, they offer support via text and email to keep clients motivated with coaches providing detailed support. Go to fitreadnutrition.com today to learn more. What do professional athletes such as Kobe Bryant and A-list celebrities such as Selma Hayek have in common? They are all touting the benefits of bone broth. But unless you have countless hours to cook every week or can hire your own personal chef, you're probably missing out on these critical nutrients. Osteobroth is a high-protein, standardized, consistent bone broth in a convenient powdered form. Use promo code SHR for 20% off at osteobroth.com.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high-quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert, but this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise With Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back. We're talking with Hillary Hadigan. The organization is Heifer International. The website is Heifer, H-E-I-F-E-R.org. This is such an important topic that I hope that all of you who listen to this show carry at least a summary of this message forward, because we are being pounded into the sand daily by this vegan movement that animal husbandry, that raising animals is destroying the planet. Nothing is further from the truth. And you can help a family that would much rather have a cow than 10 bags of corn any day of the week get a cow for themselves and their village. So how does it work? What does someone do if they want to participate with Heifer International?
So the easiest way to participate is by providing the gift of livestock. And we have a variety of livestock that we provide around the world. And if you visit our website or if you receive our gift catalog, then you can donate the equivalent of the cost of livestock in honor of someone, or you can just donate it for the goodness of your heart. But we have things like flocks of chicks, which we estimate at $20, honeybees for $30, goats for $120, and a heifer for $500. So they're just examples. But at this time of year especially, we promote that it can be an alternative gift for the people who have everything in the world, providing a gift of livestock in honor of them for the holidays is a great way to celebrate life, I think. And when you provide livestock, we're not just providing the animal itself, but we work through a values-based community development model that really builds the social capital and women's empowerment in the community and helps with environmental training, animal welfare training, nutrition education, as well as income-generating activity. And our work is over the last few years, we have started to work with farmers who receive livestock to build them into market development systems in their local areas so that it's not just a gift that has a short-term benefit for them, but it's something that really can create economic development in their local areas for the long term and make a lasting difference to their lives.
Have you been out in the field, so to speak, where these animals end up with families?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, maybe this is a question that's really not truly answerable, but you can at least maybe take a guess at it. Do you think those families are excited when they get a cow?
Oh, very, very excited.
Do you think that they'd be that excited if you dropped off five bags of corn?
I can't answer that question. It depends on their circumstances, I think. But, yeah, no, I don't think so. I think that this is it's a productive asset. It's not just a one-off gift. And so it makes a lasting difference to their lives. We have evidence of the types of changes that people experience both in their diet, their income, and in the community well-being. So definitely they're excited about it. And we also see, so I mentioned earlier that pass on the gift is a core part of the heifer work. And the communities have ceremonies where families pass on the gift to new community members or to other communities. And those ceremonies are very exciting because people have been preparing for and waiting to receive the gift of livestock from whoever's passing it on to them. And you can see the excitement that is happening between the groups when that happens. So it's very exciting.
Well, they probably recognize that their quality of life is about to take a step in the right direction, and they're so excited about that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing.
And we have instances where, you know, one community sees another community working with heifer, and they will come and ask, how do we get to be part of this program? So, it's they see the change that's happening, and that's what makes them want to experience the same for themselves.
Can people chip in? Like, in other words, so $500 may be a lot of amount of money for someone to say, I want to donate a cow. But do you have situations where, like, families chip in, maybe four or five families get together and they put $100 each in and they buy a cow?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, and we have churches and school groups and rotary clubs, as well as corporate organizations. And, yeah, we have multiple types of donors who are working in many different ways like that. We have something called a gift ark, which is $5,000. And, some families, you know, their whole family really contributes, or it may be a church that contributes at that level. So there are many different ways. And, you know, we find with schools and churches that it's a great motivator in terms of giving people a focus. And children and young people really understand it's a very tangible gift that really makes a difference in someone's life, and in a way that people can understand. It's not a remote economic thing. It is, you know, it's obvious that A dairy cow can provide milk that can help people have a better life.
Chickens lay eggs all day, every day.
Chickens lay eggs. Yeah. Exactly.
Do the families that, if I were to contribute, I'm actually thinking about trying to inspire some of my audience to get together and see how many people we can actually get together to put in $50 and how many cows we can buy. But would we actually be able to, you know, one of the big things that works for these organizations that raise money to send powdered rice flakes to impoverished towns is they send you a picture of the child. You know, then you make an emotional connection. You're like, oh, I'm feeding little Eduardo every single day. I've got to keep doing this. Is there any kind of communication connection between the village or the family that gets the animal and the people who donated the animal?
Yeah. So for at a kind of general level of giving, we do have we do have communication that we will send out around communities that have benefited from the type of livestock that you have donated, and the lives of different families are outlined there. And then at different levels, we get more sophisticated around that, and we know that people want to know the specifics of how lives have been changed. So that's very much part of our communication.
Oh, great.
And what we really want to, ultimately, you know, an organization like ours only exists because of the beneficiary community and because of the donor community. And our ultimate goal is to make that connection as real as possible, given the distance and given the practicalities of how we do that. No donor wants us spending so much on trying to make that connection happen that the gift becomes meaningless. So we've got to balance how we build that communication and the reality of implementing the program and the costs of that. But we definitely want to be able to tell those stories directly to people where they're interested in. So, yeah, if you're interested in a cow, we definitely want to be able to communicate with you where communities are benefiting from the gift of a cow and some of the changes that we're seeing, you know.
It's
making a difference.
Yeah, I would love to be able to get a picture when the cow is delivered to the family, like, and then and have a picture sent back that, you know, this is them receiving your gift. That would see that kind of stuff creates an emotional tie that makes people want to do it more. Do it all. Oh, I want to do this again. This is so exciting. It's just an idea. I want to take a break. Yeah. I'm good. I'm sorry. Good.
That was just gonna say, so it may not be the exact, you know, I mean, we don't track the specific cow, et cetera.
Right.
But it is definitely a representative image of people receiving cows, et cetera, definitely.
I want to take a break, and when we come back, I want to talk about how many animals you've actually put out there in the world, and then I want to talk about some of the obstacles that you face, because it's a logical, this is a logical program, but I don't see enough people talking about it. We're going to take one quick commercial break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
What do professional athletes such as Kobe Bryant and A-list celebrities such as Selma Hayek have in common? They are all touting the benefits of bone broth. But unless you have countless hours to cook every week or can hire your own personal chef, you're probably missing out on these critical nutrients. Osteobroth is a high-protein, standardized, consistent bone broth in a convenient powdered form. Use promo code SHR for 20% off at osteobroth.com. Health.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Pure Isolate Whey Protein is the perfect complement to your muscle growth, fat loss, or fitness program. Packing an awesome amino acid profile, Muscle Gauge WPI is easily digested, lactose-free, sugar-free, and fat-free. The Pure Whey Protein Isolate used in Muscle Gauge's WPI is absorbed fast, transporting amino acids into muscle fibers to begin the repair and rebuilding process. Pure WPI delivers pharmaceutical-grade whey protein at a price you can afford. Don't pay more. Don't settle for less. Go to MGNstore.com today.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's GetCarbolin.com/CARBGUIDE.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
We're talking about Heifer International. You need to go to this website and learn more about them. HEIFER.org. And I'm going to post on Facebook and in some other social media areas, those of you who want to join in, as part of the Superhuman Nation, we should get together and see if we can't donate a couple cows to a couple families. How many families has Heifer International helped so far, Hillary?
Since our founding, we estimate 31 million or more.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and, you know, it's not only the families that receive the livestock that benefit. So in some of our work, for example, where we're giving dairy cows, we've got a couple of large projects in Africa where the farmers that get the livestock then work together in like the equivalent of a cooperative or an organized way to collect the milk. So then you have people who set up a business transporting the milk from the farmer to the co-op so that it can be collected by the processor, so that it's one central collection point. So then the people who, they may be riding their bicycle to collect milk from different farms, but they also get income and benefit from the project. And so we see not just the immediate people who get livestock benefiting, but the broader community. And we've recently done some research in Malawi on a project where we can really see not only the farmers that are directly receiving the livestock, but also the ones who produce crops, who use some of the residual from their crops to make food for that can be sold as concentrate to the farmers who have the cows or the transporters. So there are multiple ways that the community benefit from this that is beyond the gift of livestock. We have community animal health workers that work with the families that we provide livestock to, but they work with the other families as well. And so the other families benefit on their own farming from having this resource input into the community. So yeah, the total is over 31 million, and the benefits are in multiple ways.
So talk about some of the obstacles. You have to be facing obstacles because you, what you're doing has to be very unpopular in today's Meatless Monday, anti-animal, vegan world. I mean, everybody and anybody who is in that realm of pop culture today is saying, oh, you know, raising animals is destroying the planet. Really, that's not true. And I have evidence that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
But what about you? Why are you being picked up? Is heifer being promoted on mainstream media?
We are, yeah. I mean, we're not as well known as we'd like to be, but who is? But, you know, that's something that does happen. We get picked up by mainstream media. We also get criticism from people who are of the mindset you described. They're vegans or they are animal welfare people. And I would say we have to think about the context that we're talking about. So in the context in North America, I have some sympathy for people who take that perspective. But when we look at the situations that we're working in around the world, it's very different. We're talking about families who might own two or three or six livestock. They are producing food very naturally for them, or they're allowing them to graze, and it's not something that is destroying the planet. And they're cared for in very good ways. So I think that taking everything in its context is really important, and being respectful of the local culture, local context, local environment, etc., really helps our understanding and our conversations with people who take an opposing view. So in the North America context, it's a very different situation than in Nepal or India or Kenya or Malawi, etc. So I think we just have to understand everything in its location. And the other thing that we know is that animal-sourced foods are the best source of micronutrients for growing children and for everyone. But in terms of getting nutritious diets, animals can really help. You know, milk is it makes a huge difference. And that's what the study you looked at last time showed us,
right?
How it's benefiting. We've also had work done in other areas on nutrition, and you can see a real difference where families receive livestock and where they have nutrition education accompanying it. And they've got the environmental education, so they're caring for it in a positive way. So it's a very rich source of micronutrients and improved nutrition, definitely.
The argument that I focused on back in, let's see when this blog was posted, in 2000, well, this was February 2016, was I had somebody on the show, and they used a number. I forget what it was, but it was something like it takes 2,200 gallons of water to produce 1 pound of beef. And, you know, I really thought about that for a long time. I thought, you know, I understand farming. I worked with large animals as a young man. 2,200 gallons of water would cost a farmer some amount of money because they can't just get that from a local stream or a pond or something like that, which cows like to go into and drink. And I started to look around, and I mean, I looked at very credible organizations involved in large-scale animal husbandry. I looked at the Explore Beef Organization's Modern Beef Production Fact Sheet. And what I came away with was, I compared beef to soy, because soy is a high, quote-unquote, high-protein, high-quality protein plant source, and that beef is often compared to in these arguments. And the blog is up on my website. But the bottom line was that it takes, I'll read it to you. Let me get back down to this. So what it means is a 3 ounce serving of beef provides 578 kcals and a 3 ounce serving of soybeans, 382 kcals. And the soy takes four times as much water to produce than the beef. This is a fact. This is not one of those overzealous statements that someone just throws out. If you look at how much water they need to provide to an acre of soy through the growing season versus how much water a cow drinks up to the processing age. And keep in mind one other thing. Cows drink water from streams. They drink water from pools of water that gather from rain runoff. They're not drinking water out of the tap. But farmers are having water shipped in and put into cisterns and used in irrigation systems to water their crops when it doesn't rain. And there is some rainfall that contributes to both of these equations, and it was figured into my blog. But it takes much more water to produce a less viable portion of soy than it does beef. We have to stop lying just to prove a point. I do not think that all we should eat is meat, nor do I think that the answer is exclusively crop growths. I think it's in between, like everything else in life. We have to stop trashing animal husbandry because of some emotional reaction to, animals are being exploited.
Mm-hmm.
It has to stop.
So the facts matter. You know, digging into the facts is very important. And the facts help you understand the reality of the context, and that can provide a different way out, I think. That's what you're...
The other argument that the anti-beef people make is that aside from the water consumption, which is not true, I've debunked that very accurately. I challenge anybody to read my blog and tell me what I did wrong on that, because it's mathematically right there. But the other thing they say is, well, there's not enough land to sustain animals. That's also a lie. There's not enough land to keep growing crops. You need very, very specific type of land to grow crops. It's got to be flat. You have to clear it of all trees and stuff like that. So it has to be fairly barren. But there is rangeland and pasture lands in the United States alone is 528 million acres of land. We only use 40% of that. That land is not available for growing crops because it's hills and it's valleys. And it's places farmers can't grow anything. Cows walk up hills, they walk down into valleys, and they eat the grass. We only have 18% of our land is available for growing crops. We're running out of crop land. We're not running out of land to raise animals on.
So I think it's important to say, you know, HEFA works with an integrated agriculture approach. So we look at how to use land in ways that you can have coexisting crops, you can have livestock with crops, so that you are getting the most out of the small amount of land that a lot of the smallholders we work with have. And we also look at working with farmers so that they are diversifying their production, because that helps them be more resilient in the long term. So I think, again, applying the context of growing, you know, row crops, it's just not applicable in the kind of settings that we're talking about.
Right.
And we've even got some work in the United States, and we're really promoting this same approach here of sustainable farming and holistic integrated systems, so that people can get the most from the land that they have. So it doesn't necessarily take the amount of land that is being described in the commercial agriculture sector. And it's just what is possible for smallholder farmers. So.
Yeah, and the only reason why I'm even invoking the whole United States side argument here is because there are people in the audience or people that may stumble upon this show that are not considered part of this regular audience who were thinking to themselves that, you know, raising animals is a mistake. It's not a mistake here in the United States, and it's definitely not a mistake in these countries where these people will actually be raised up socioeconomically, nutritionally. Their entire lives will be changed by the donation of a few animals, way, way beyond you sending them a bag of flour, rice every year, every month.
Absolutely.
Way, way up.
Absolutely.
I want to take I'm sorry. I didn't want to interrupt you.
I was going to say, and with the growing population that we have, smallholder farmers are very important to the future of food in the planet. So, it is we can't just dismiss it. I think we have to think through how does this work and how do we make it work.
Yeah, I agree. Let's take our last commercial break. When we come back, we'll wrap up this discussion. Stay tuned.
$4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States. and are low heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
The category killer just got upgraded in a big way. New MassPro Synthogen X2 is here. Take it before and after training and recover faster than with anabolic steroids. Visit Synthogen.com and use coupon code SHR15 for 15% off. MassPro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
A legendary name in hardcore supplementation, Iron Mag Labs. 100% original, patent-pending Andro compounds. The most effective, hardcore, groundbreaking bodybuilding supplements in the world.
In the world.
Iron Mag Labs. Revolutionizing hardcore supplementation for more than a decade. Visit IronMagLabs.com. IronMagLabs.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back. We're talking about an organization called Heifer International. Their website is H-E-I-F-E-R, heifer.org. So I want to cover one last thing that's really important, the different levels of participation. Hillary, obviously we talked about how people can donate money to help buy animals for families in some of these villages. But it looks like you've got a lot of different ways that people can participate here.
Mm-hmm. We do. Mm-hmm.
Talk about that.
So the simplest way is a direct donation, of course. But then we have materials that are available for people that can be used in different settings. For example, teachers, we have classroom resources that can be used. We have a program that's called Read to Feed, which parents might be interested in. It motivates children to read, and they get sponsored for the reading, and that also then means that they can donate from that sponsorship. We also have a fundraising site called Team Heifer, where you can create your own fundraising tool to bring your friends and family and your peer group into donating to a cause that you really believe in, and we have fundraising kits available for that. And then we also work with businesses as a kind of workplace giving motivation. So we've got corporate organizations that work with us, and it's an option for their employees to donate so that they together are focusing on one charity to give their donations to. And we've even got some businesses that go out into their local community and take some of the classroom resources out and the read-to-feed materials, and they build their own community of giving in their local area. So there's many different ways that you can donate. There's also a monthly giving program. So if you don't want to make one large gift, but you want to give a small amount that, you know, we don't necessarily notice, $10 or $20 a month, then you can commit to a monthly giving program. And that's a really valuable program to us, because that is support that we know is coming in consistently and we can rely on as we're planning our work and planning new programs. So, yeah, there are a lot of alternative ways that you can support HEFA. We also have learning centers. We've got one. Our headquarters is in Arkansas, and we have a learning center in Arkansas and one in Massachusetts. And they are places where you can visit. We have examples of how our program works around the world and learning resources there, too. And they're great places to take young students for a field trip, or to visit to learn more about HEFA's work. So that's another alternative.
And those multiple ways. Those things sound more like volunteer opportunities, right? That's more like a volunteer.
They may be a day visit. We have a lot of schools that go on a day field visit to the learning centers. So, but we do have volunteers there as well, and people can volunteer for as much as a year or much shorter amounts of time, and then. We also have a great group of volunteers who work in supporting schools and churches in their giving programs, and they're based around the country. So, yeah, we've got giving and volunteer opportunities.
What about, it says non-cash donations here. Obviously, I mean, if I had a farmer who wanted to actually donate an animal or two, could they do that?
So we may not use them to ship overseas, but so we've had donations, for example, where they've been used in our learning centers. But those kinds of things are very rare and not as easy for us to manage. But if somebody's got an idea, then we would definitely want to talk to them and see if it's possible for us to put that to good use.
The animals, which raises a question that you said, that the animals that are actually shipped overseas, I would imagine they have to meet certain requirements in order to be eligible to ship, you know, obviously free of diseases and stuff like that. This is hard mm-hmm. to ship live animals from one country to another.
I'm really glad you raised this point, because actually this is something that is an interesting point, especially for people who care about animal welfare. We actually don't ship livestock anymore. We stopped shipping in the 70s, and partly because it's very expensive and a lot of work to ship, and it's not the best thing for the livestock. And livestock is available locally much more so now than it used to be. There is much more genetic material available locally. So we buy it locally or local to the country where mm-hmm. we're working, and we don't ship it from the United States anymore. And that, I think, is an important message for this audience, that we don't ship, and that we are trying to support local economies and use locally appropriate livestock.
I applaud what you're doing.
Thank you.
I just hope that more and more people start to get the message and lay down their anger that is being fed by misinformation, because the contributing money to give someone a goat, a cow, an oxen. I mean, this will impact their lives so much more than the nutritional implications. And that's what this is about. We can't just keep feeding people without giving them the tools to elevate themselves out of poverty on their own without having to be there every day helping them. And livestock does that. It doesn't get any simpler than that. So I
thank you very much. I would say livestock can change lives. It can build food security for families, and it can transform communities. And it's a very viable gift for the families that we work with around the world, who are largely smallholder farmers. And a lot of the people we work with, smallholder farmers, are largely women. So it's a huge gift that makes a big difference.
Wow.
And I think getting facts and taking the context into account, I think it's possible to have a world where we can do that and it not be exploitative. So, yeah, definitely.
In fact,
there's a
blog on the Superhuman Radio website. It's called Animals, a Central Piece to the Food Security and Agricultural Sustainability Puzzle. It's written by Alex Leaf, and it was written about Dr. Lawrence Reynolds' paper from North Dakota State University, which is a very well-reasoned, well-thought-out paper where he shows that we can't just go, oh, animals are hurting the planet, we have to stop raising animals. No, you stop raising animals and the planet's going to fall apart. It's not going to get better and cleaner and healthier. It's going to get sicker and worse and dirtier. So we have to stop this nonsense. Listen, Hillary, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about a women's issue, a very important one, quite frankly, and that is arterial calcification in the breasts. What is it really a sign of? Stay tuned.
Professional athletes such as Kobe Bryant and A-list celebrities such as Selma Hayek have in common. They are all touting the benefits of bone broth. But unless you have countless hours to cook every week or can hire your own personal chef, you're probably missing out on these critical nutrients. Osteobroth is a high-protein, standardized, consistent bone broth in a convenient powdered form. Use promo code SHR for 20% off at osteobroth.com. Fit Read Nutrition understands that getting in shape can be difficult, whether it's getting to the gym or maintaining a proper diet for a busy lifestyle. Weight and fitness can often be forgotten. That's why they've created customized meal plans plus fitness programs that can help support your specific goals to get fit and eat healthy. Even during vacations and special events, they offer support via text and email to keep clients motivated with coaches providing detailed support. Go to fitreadnutrition.com today to learn more.
4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
The Category Killer just got upgraded in a big way. New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 is here. Take it before and after training and recover faster than with anabolic steroids. Visit Synthogen.com and use coupon code SHR15 for 15% off. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. You know, when women go for their mammograms, radiologists who usually grade these mammograms, they look for very specific things. And there are a lot of things that are quite often considered not really important, or maybe even artifacts of the process that are ignored. But one of them is coming to the forefront and may actually be much more important than we once thought. My next guest is Dr. Peter Schnatz. How you doing, Dr. Schnatz?
I'm doing great. How you doing? Thanks for having me on today.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. It's a good, very, very important discussion, too. We like to bring emerging research to the audience. We like to keep people ahead of the curve. And this is one of those studies. When Elisa told me about this, I was very excited about it. So before we get into the study, talk about what preceded this study. Why did these questions have to be answered?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. If I can digress a little bit, because I think it ties right into that. The way I got interested in this, as you may know, I'm just finishing up my term as president of the North American Menopause Society, and it was my presidential address where I presented this research. And one of the things I pointed out to the audience during the presidential presentation was, it was not only interesting research, I think, and I think some other people think, but what led me to get interested in it was at my first NAMS meeting, probably 14, 15 years ago, sitting there as a young faculty member in the audience, I heard somebody mention this concept of an association between breast arterial calcification and coronary disease, and I said, whoa, that is fascinating, because we do mammograms on women every year, or at least every other year, from age 40 on. And if there's another potential benefit from it without an additional charge, they're already getting the mammogram. And if there's something else as important as heart disease that we're able to tell from that, boy, that would be really, really important. So I went home and talked to some of my colleagues, and we started this study, and that's what brought us to this point. That's what kind of got me sparked on it.
When I read it, I thought to myself, this makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
And the reason for a very long time, dentists have been trying to say that, if you've got plaque buildup, calculus, as they like to call it, on the back of the teeth, they like to say that it could lead to. And I say, no. Let's be clear. Saliva is a natural filtrate of the blood. If you have calcification building up on the back of your teeth, you probably have calcification building up in other places. And we know that tissue calcification and arterial calcification can be damning and really lead to death. So this makes perfect sense. It's like, oh, wait a minute. You're developing calcification in these small blood vessels in your breasts, you're probably developing this calcification in other areas as well. Is that what you were thinking as well?
Yeah, right, exactly. And so the little bit of technical background that I think is important for people to understand is there are two different kinds of calcifications that people can develop. Mm-hmm. In the artery or arterial, there's an intimal and a medial layer, okay? And the one that, if you say to somebody, gee, we did an x-ray on you and we saw some really bad calcifications, what we usually think about is intimal. That's kind of when you see the aorta with big white plaques on it.
Mm-hmm.
And we've known for years that those kind of calcifications are associated with heart disease, mm-hmm. that the heart disease is probably already there, that if you have that kind of degree of calcifications in the aorta or the iliacs or that sort of thing, you've got calcifications in your coronaries. But what these calcifications in the arterioles, the medial layer, means, nobody really has known, and that's why it's kind of been ignored. Radiologists have seen it on the mammograms for years, but there's no consistency in whether some report it, some don't report it, some report it the first time they see it, and then not after that. There's really no consistency in what they do with that information. And that's why I think, we need to figure out, is this important and does it mean what we think it means?
So talk about the study design. This was a 10-year study, right?
yeah, 10-year study. So the the first part of it, after I came back from that meeting, was that we did an initial study looking at the association. So that was time point zero, just to we enrolled close to 2,000 women who were presenting for their annual screening mammogram. And as part of that, they filled out a detailed questionnaire that had information about risk factors for coronary disease, so hypertension, hypercholesterolemia, diabetes, so on and so forth, but also do they have underlying heart disease, stroke, CABG in the past, that sort of thing. And then the first analysis was looking at that time point zero. If you have breast calcifications, do you have a higher incidence of heart disease? So that was interesting in and of itself. It did show a direct correlation that those with BAC had a higher incidence of coronary disease and coronary risk factors. But then, you know, what we kind of said was, well, that's interesting, but if it's associated with it and they already have heart disease, what's the big deal? The cat's already out of the bag. It's just documenting what we already know.
Right.
We said what really would be important is if the women who have BAC and don't have heart disease, if they have a higher incidence of developing over the future compared to those who don't have BAC, that's what we really need to know. And so that's, we then continued to follow these women. And 5 years ago, presented the five-year data, and then just at this last meeting, presented the 10-year data.
Yeah, because now it becomes a instead of just going, oh, this is corollary, now you can go, oh, it's predictive.
Right.
That's very exciting. Yeah.
Right. And that, and so that's, you know, what we did was did exactly that, is took our population. When we did the analysis, we kind of eliminated those that already had heart disease at baseline and said, let's just look at the women who didn't have heart disease and compare those with the calcifications versus those without, and showed not just an association, but a three times higher likelihood of developing coronary disease. So in the 10-year study, over the 10 years, about 3% who did not have the calcifications developed heart disease. In those who had calcifications, it was 9%. So that's huge.
Yeah, that's significant. And so, at least at this point in time, this study shows that it can be predictive. If you have someone, now, is it easy from the technology limitations of a mammogram to actually track the progression? Like, oh, we have a level one calcification now. Oh my goodness, it's getting worse now. The next year, the year after, can you actually track that?
Well, that's a great question. One thing I need to point out, I'll mention it here, that's important to point out at some point, and then I'll get more specifically to your question, is, I mean, this isn't a perfect study, and although it is prospective, it is, a cohort study, so there are certainly some potential limitations. But yet, being that it's prospective and a large cohort, you know, I think it is very good and probably the best data we have on it out there. But the question you're asking in terms of is it predictive and does it progress and that sort of thing, that's a fascinating question. I think we're just getting into that element of the research. There was another recent study that we need to probe into a little bit more and maybe develop a little bit further, but they actually showed that some of these BACs may be modifiable, that they may change,
mm-hmm.
Which was fascinating. Now they didn't really say what happened or why they might have changed. It was just a study that kind of looked at mammogram time point A and then time point B, and they showed that some of the BACs progressed and some regressed. But that has fascinating implications, because does it mean, as you're alluding to, that you could potentially track improvement or worsening or improvement over time with these? When at the time period when we did the the readings, there really wasn't a lot of grading in terms of grade 1, grade 2, grade 3 calcifications. It was more of a yes, no. But
right.
I think that's something that, you know, we need to start getting more into that element of grading it and looking at potential. Since we do mammograms frequently on women, we could track it yearly or every other year and see what's happening as their risk factors and so forth are worsening.
The other thing that would be interesting is the 3% that did have BACs but did not present with classic calcification of arteries for, you know, arteriosclerotic plaque buildup, to follow them for the next 10 years, because it could just be in that group they're just slower progressors. They're still heading in the same direction. It just took them longer than 10 years to get there.
You're saying that the ones that haven't, that were BAC positive but haven't developed coronary disease yet?
Yes, yes.
Right.
It would be great to just follow that group alone for the next 10 years
and
say, you know, let's try them, you know, every 5 years, let's just go back and do another mammogram. Let's look at the mammogram. Let's look at the cardio risk, cardiovascular risk factors and go, oh my goodness, they were on the same train and they just took longer to get to the stop.
Right. Right. Yeah, no, that's a great question. You mean I might have to tell my my colleagues and research partners that they're not done with this study yet?
Yeah, kind of like that's what I was thinking, you know. I
mean, yeah.
I mean you already, you know, you already have the foundation in place. You just have to follow that one cohort
right.
for a little longer and just see what happens to them. The other thing is when I hear regression, you know, and we're going to take a break right after this, but So I read a lot of studies, and a study that I read not too long ago was about chronic kidney disease.
Yeah.
One of the byproducts of chronic kidney disease is elevations in 25-hydroxy. Mm-hmm. And we know that very high levels of 25-hydroxy, I mean, we're talking about really high levels, not typically the levels that people can get into just from supplementation, but very, very high levels of 25-hydroxy lead to whole-scale tissue calcification, all tissue. You know, all the tissue in the body starts to become calcified.
Mm-hmm.
And in the case of chronic kidney disease, supplementing with small amounts of sodium bicarbonate reversed the tissue calcification over the course of 5 years, reversed it. However, it did not reduce the circulating 25-hydroxy. So that's an interesting, you know, when I read that study, I thought, you know, tissue calcification is a byproduct of aging sometimes. It's a byproduct of a lot mm-hmm. of different disease states. And if taking 600 milligrams of sodium bicarbonate five times a day could actually reverse tissue calcification, we're missing a great opportunity for a therapeutic approach while we figure what the heck's going on, you know?
Yep. Right.
But I want to hold on to that thought because we have to take this break. I want to come back and have you opine on that statement, and then we'll go a little bit further. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenadrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenadrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenadrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Ever feel like you want something
and crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
The category killer just got upgraded in a big way. New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 is here. Take it before and after training and recover faster than with anabolic steroids. Visit Synthogen.com and use coupon code SHR15 for 15% off. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it. Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Pure Isolate Whey Protein is the perfect complement to your muscle growth, fat loss, or fitness program. Packing an awesome amino acid profile, Muscle Gauge WPI is easily digested, lactose-free, sugar-free, and fat-free. The Pure Whey Protein Isolate used in Muscle Gauge's WPI is absorbed fast, transporting amino acids into muscle fibers to begin the repair and rebuilding process. Pure WPI delivers pharmaceutical-grade whey protein at a price you can afford. Don't pay more. Don't settle for less. Go to MGNstore.com today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, LIVON labs.com.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Peter Schnatz. We're talking about a new study that may indicate that the arterial calcification in breast may actually provide an insight into the risks of developing cardiovascular disease later on. So do you want to opine or you want to just step away from what I said a second
ago? No. I've been opining the opportunity to opine.
Okay.
You raise really a fascinating, question there about the possibility of sodium bicarbonate and kind of tying into what I was talking about in terms of regression and so forth. And, earlier we were kind of talking about some of my other research, but this does tie in addition to calcifications of the breast. Most of my research centers around menopause and cardiovascular disease of menopause. One of my colleagues who unfortunately passed away about a year ago, Dr. Tom Clarkson, who's a veterinarian and does his work in a lab at Wake Forest, and he and I have done a lot of work related to vitamin D and cardiovascular disease, and vitamin D and hormonal therapy and cardiovascular disease. But one of the things he and I had talked about, and I've talked to some of his colleagues there at the lab, is trying to look at the monkeys, and they have tissue samples of the monkey breast tissue. And so we've considered looking at microscopically the calcifications at a microscopic level and then correlating it with atherosclerosis. But this could be a perfect model to begin to look at that type of thing in terms of progression and regression, and maybe even designing a study where we could look at intervening with things like sodium bicarbonate or vitamin D or other therapies or interventions, which I think would be, and even controlling of diet and controlling of, some of the standard things that we know to be beneficial. And is it possible to see a regression at the medial layer of the vessel?
So here's the interesting thing about vitamin D, and the only reason why I can talk about this is because 2 years ago I developed a topically applied vitamin D supplement. called Primal D. And it actually dawned on me while vacationing in Mexico and laying in the sun. You know, I was like, why are we taking, you know, when you look at, okay, so first of all, when you look at vitamin D research, by and large, vitamin D research is driven by epidemiological phenomenons that we see in populations that live in climates where they are exposed to the sun a lot. And we go, wow, they don't get cancer as much. They don't have heart disease. They don't seem to be diabetic. Their microbiome is healthier. All these great things. So we go, oh, it's vitamin D. But then we do research where we give people boluses of oral vitamin D or inject them in their gluteus muscle with a vitamin D. And we go, oh, wow, it didn't work. And we go, you know, and it's almost like the analogy I gave on the show years ago was, it's like if you walked into an exercise physiology lab and they wanted to check your VO2 max, but they put the breathing apparatus on the back of your head instead of your nose. And they went, oh my God, you know, your VO2 max is in the gutter. Well, you're not measuring it where it belongs. And if you're not putting vitamin D where it belongs. So when I developed this product, I found such great research that showed that when vitamin D levels develop from sun exposure, you don't have tissue calcification. Blood levels of calcium do not go up. It's only when you take oral vitamin D, which makes you think, wait, there's more to it. And I'm going to make one other prediction real quick. We have totally ignored the melanocortin system. The melanocortin system may be the reason that all of the benefits of vitamin D on atherosclerotic plaque. It's not vitamin D. In fact, I published a blog last year that looked at melanotan 2 actually reversed intima inflammation and arterial plaque when supplemented with fairly high doses of melanotan 2. And that's when I said maybe the key to arresting heart disease is a suntan. My problem with vitamin D is we do all this stuff with vitamin D, but we give people oral vitamin D and injections of vitamin D. We have to get them under the sun, and then we can assess whether vitamin D is doing something or not. That's my humble opinion. That's my
right. Well, I think that's a great opinion, and we're seeing that in other areas too with calcium. You know, there's been a lot of question about the benefits of calcium, and so a lot of us are recommending that patients get their calcium as much as possible through diet.
Yes,
certainly there's still benefit if they're not getting it in diet to be taking oral calcium to get it up to the level that they need for their bone health and so forth. But, you know, I agree. I think that the more patients can be getting it through natural sources, through their diet, makes a lot of sense.
Women are turning to alternate methods. You know, mammograms have gotten a pretty bad rap recently. We now have thermography. There's something else. When I was out in California recently working on a project, they have some sort of device that combines a couple different technologies where a woman actually lays down, her breasts hang in a pool of some sort of liquid, and they can do some sort of really great imaging this way that's supposed to be more accurate and less, it doesn't expose women to radiation. So women are looking for alternatives to mammograms. Do you think things like these sonograms and also these what are they ones that measure heat, thermograms, do they pick up calcification as well?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I don't know the answer. I think you know, and since the time when we did this study, we had all the radiologists from the center kind of go through a pre-testing pre-examination to make sure they were all qualified and that they were getting consistent results and that sort of thing. You know, things have changed a lot now, as you alluded to, the grading of these and 3D mammograms and thermography and all the newer technology. So, I mean, obviously we've been following the same cohort because we're interested in the 10-year, and so we're using the same mammograms we did back then. But I think we're ready now to say, okay, what's the next step? And you know, MRI, does it show a better image or result, or is it more specific or sensitive, and 3D and like you're saying, thermography? And so my personal opinion is, so what do we do with all this? And you know, my personal opinion is there an association? There's clearly in my mind an association. What does it mean? And is it clear enough that we now recommend that every radiologist should be documenting this? You know, I guess the question is, we certainly don't want to cause harm where it's not, you know, we don't want to panic patients, and that would be my one concern. If you start putting on a report information, we need to make sure that patients don't, you know, don't panic from it, but that it's cushioned appropriately to let them know that this is a risk factor and hopefully to direct them towards the things that we know are beneficial, exercise and diet and smoking cessation and blood pressure control and all those sort of things. But I think, you know, there is a value in starting to have it routinely reported, not only so that we have that information, but so that we can start using it more consistently in research and in tracking what it actually means.
Did you track a variety of different lifestyle questions in this cohort?
We did track exercise and blood pressure, cholesterol, not glucose levels, but history of diabetes, hormone therapy use.
Good. Those are my questions. We have to take a break. I want to know about their insulin resistance status. I want to know about their HRT status and also where they were in the area of menopause. Some of these may be perimenopause, postmenopause, how long, because these all play into changes in the body that could lead to this type of calcification. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improves the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today. 4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advance contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advance. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advance banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Eat dessert again with the
the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
What do professional athletes such as Kobe Bryant and A-list celebrities such as Selma Hayek have in common? They are all touting the benefits of bone broth. But unless you have countless hours to cook every week or can hire your own personal chef, you're probably missing out on these critical nutrients. Osteobroth is a high-protein, standardized, consistent bone broth in a convenient powdered form. Use promo code SHR for 20% off at osteobroth.com. The category killer just got upgraded in a big way. New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 is here. Take it before and after training and recover faster than with anabolic steroids. Visit Synthogen.com and use coupon code SHR15 for 15% off. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Peter Schnatz. We're talking about what breast arterial calcification may be able to tell us. And it's really exciting. Anytime we have something that can help us predict the development of a disease state, it means two things. It means we can watch it closer. And if we have ways to employ approaches to reverse it, we can start earlier. And so this is an important discussion. Okay, so of the group, how many of the people who fell into the high correlate of BAC to coronary artery disease were on HRT?
So this is an area that we need to do more. We haven't done a huge amount of analysis about the HRT and all the implications. I do know that in general, the baseline cohort, it wasn't too different actually. The past users were 15% in the BAC positive, 14% in the negative, 13% of current users had BAC positive, 10% of current were BAC negative. But interestingly, there was a significant association in the risk of coronary disease. So those who had past or current use had a 42% lower likelihood of BAC. And when we controlled for age with that same analysis, past hormonal therapy use was a protective or beneficial association with the development or the association of BAC. You know, now what does that actually mean? And we didn't look at the prospective end of that. And it would be a little bit hard in this type of study. You'd be drawing multiple kind of, it's not a prospective study where you're randomizing patients to those on HRT versus not. So there's a lot of potential confounding variables. So it's probably not the best design study to say hormonal therapy has cardiovascular benefit.
Well, there's another confounding variable that most scientists completely miss when they write these types of papers, and HRT comes into play with women.
Right.
And that is, you know, I'm old enough to remember that back in the day when you told someone to copy something, you told them to Xerox it, even if they were copying it on a Sony copier, right? You say, oh, go Xerox this. You know,
we
say HRT, right? But there are women that are on methylated equine estrogens and progestins. And then there are women who are taking just base hormones, you know, progesterone. Right. These, you know, those methylation processes employed by pharmaceutical companies to deliver higher amounts of orally delivered hormones, we know that they change hepatic landscape and cause and cause thrombotic index to go up. They cause higher risks of certain types of cancers. So when we look at HRT, we have to drill down and go, okay, you're on HRT. What are you taking? Well, I'm taking unopposed estrogen. What kind of estrogen? Oh, I'm taking a Premarin. You know, yeah. Oh, wait a minute. You know, that's not just estrogen. That's a methylated form of estrogen that's actually going to change hepatic. I feel like until scientists start looking at the nuances of the drug delivery systems employed for these hormones, we're going to always have bad information.
Right. Well, that's an excellent point, because there are so many, not only different types, but also different routes of administration, doses, whether you're combining progestogen or not, and topical, oral, all these sort of things. And, at our recent meeting, we had a translational science symposium looking at, many of us have been concerned since the WHI came out about the phraseology, lowest dose for the shortest duration, because it has a very medical legal flair to it, which is interpreted by many patients and many providers as saying, you need to get off this as quickly as you can, otherwise something bad's going to happen. That was never the intent, but it's kind of how it got interpreted. But really, I think what we need to be saying is, what's the appropriate dose via the appropriate route for the appropriate duration when considering all these things that you're alluding to in terms of, what's the preparation, what's the route of administration, what's the factors of the patient, her age, her other comorbidities, her indication for use, all these things go into it so that we can individualize what we're doing for each patient.
Okay, let's talk about insulin resistance. We know that high insulin levels can actually modulate and alter electrolyte deposition in and out of the cell. When we talk about electrolytes, we're talking about calcium, magnesium, potassium, phosphorus, sodium, and other players in this discussion. We know that insulin resistance begets inappropriate alterations in electrolytes, calcium being one of them. How many of these people were or had been diagnosed with some form of insulin resistance, the ones that ended up in the high correlate group?
Yeah. So, again, we don't have data on insulin resistance, although we did track diabetes, which obviously is a surrogate for insulin resistance. And there was a highly significant correlation. Those with diabetes had a much higher likelihood of having BAC positivity. 4% in the BAC negative group were diabetic, 11% in the BAC positive.
Wow.
Which was highly significant, a p-value of less than 0.001. When we did a logistic regression to look at what was the association of diabetes and the presence of BAC, it was about a twofold increased risk. So those who were diabetic had about a twofold higher likelihood of having diabetes. When we did the flip side logistic regression, which I found really fascinating. In other words, of the cardiovascular risk factors, hypercholesterolemia, diabetes, hypertension, age, all those sort of things, and said what was the if you had one of those risk factors, what was the likelihood of you having atherosclerosis? There was only one risk factor of all the classic ones that we know and talk about that was higher than BAC. Hypercholesterolemia had a 2.86 odds ratio of atherosclerosis. BAC was 2.3. And all the others, family history of cardiovascular disease, hypertension, age, they were all less than 2. So, it again was really suggestive that this is this certainly is an association.
Yeah. And I agree with that terminology, association. Again, cholesterol is really a perplexing molecule because it's necessary for plaque to be built, but it may not be the cause. It may once again be corollary if we're looking deeper into what causes inflammation and the scarring of the lining of a vessel that then attracts plaque. I get it. So this is really really interesting. So are there any Is there any evidence that looking at other tissue for this type of calcification could also be a window into the probability of developing the disease? Or do the mammary glands or do the breast tissue hold some sort of special, unique quality for this?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I don't know the answer. You know, it's an area that we image frequently on many women, and that's kind of why this has come to the forefront. But, you know, good question. Like, is there some other place in the body that we frequently image where we could, you know, there's a transvaginal ultrasound of the, you know, the uterine arteries or something. Is there some other area? That's an interesting question. That's one of the things that, you know, as researchers we love is that as you answer these, every question you answer, you develop, you know, 5 or 10 more questions that kind of spring into another area. It's certainly something that we should probably start to consider.
I'm being selfish from men. We don't get mammograms. Is there something
right.
we can do for men that we can go, oh, wow, you know, you may be at a higher risk of developing this disease?
Right, right. No, that's a good point. You know, the counter of that is, are there other disease entities that this may be predicting, you know, so that if there are breast arterial calcifications and this is associated with atherosclerosis of the heart, we also in the study talk about stroke, but could there be other things like dementia, kidney disease, other things that rely on appropriate vascular flow, so that, you know, that's kind of another area that people could start to look at.
Yeah, plaque buildup. Yeah.
Another thing that you alluded to before the break that we should touch on at some point, because I think it's interesting, is age and menopausal status and age of the patient. Because one of the reasons this whole topic was first brought up years ago, probably in the 80s, when the association first became discussed, but then it was very quickly dismissed and kind of got lost in the literature for about 20 years or so, because everybody just said, well, this is just an age phenomenon, you know, that as women age, the likelihood of calcifications increases and the likelihood of atherosclerosis increases. So, yeah, you're seeing an association, but it's just a matter of age. And so that's something that we've had to seriously consider in this research.
I want to take a break, and when we come back, I want to hit you with the last question that's really important to me, and then we'll wrap it up. And that is,
yep.
What about the role of exercise in the high correlate group? Because I tend to believe that exercise, and I mean real exercise. I don't mean, you know, walking exclusively. I mean doing things that push the body just gently into greater levels of conditioning can mitigate the damning effects of lots of diseases. You may have a disease, but quite often you'll fare better if you continue to exercise. I want to ask questions about that. And then we also want to talk about, we'll wrap up the discussion with your summary. And then also you've got some announcements you want to make. So we'll cover all that in the next segment. Stay tuned.
How to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
A legendary name in hardcore supplementation. Iron Mag Labs. 100% original, patent pending Andro compound. The most effective, hardcore, groundbreaking bodybuilding supplements in the world.
In the world.
Iron Mag Labs. Revolutionizing hardcore supplementation for more than a decade. Visit ironmaglabs.com.
ironmaglabs.com.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Anabolicminds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit anabolicminds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Peter Schnatz about a recent study that shows that tracking the arterial calcification in breast tissue may provide a window into the possibility of future issues with cardiovascular disease. And so we need to know more about this. It's wonderful when we have opportunities to predict that diseases will be coming, and it's a great thing. So what about exercise? Did exercise play any role in either protecting against or being a high correlate to the development of VAC?
Yeah, and that's an area we haven't been able to really look into or correlate real well at this point. It is an area we could try to look at and tease out moving forward. So I think it's a good point, and it ties into what we were talking about earlier in terms of starting to look at the potential, whether this is, can you show regression or progression? And that's an area that's, I mean, it didn't even really dawn on me when we started this study, because most of the time you think about calcification as being more permanent. I mean, I know you alluded to the fact that maybe sodium bicarbonate can impact that, but in general, you don't easily see calcifications going away, but maybe it can, and maybe these medial calcifications are easier or somehow less permanent than the intimal calcifications that often develop. So I think that's an area we got to start looking at, whether it be by exercise, by some type of supplementation, by modification of risk factors, and see what does happen to these calcifications over time.
I'm going to send you a link to the blog I wrote about the study about melanotan 2 and intimal inflammation and plaque actually regressing in the supplemented group. It's really intriguing, and it's, you know, to me, if somebody told me tomorrow morning, wow, you've got some serious plaque buildup, I would buy myself one of those sunlight beds, the one that gives you full, because I'm not all for this, oh, well, UBV, look, we evolved under the sun. We didn't evolve under some of the sun. We evolved under all of the light of the sun. And I really think this message about skin cancer has done our population a great disservice, because when you look at people who live in equatorial areas of the world, they don't have the skin cancer we have in the United States. So it's not just the sun that's causing skin cancer. There's something else going on here. But with that being said, we need sun. Sun is good for us. I'm not saying you should go out and tan until your skin is leather. But, you know, getting out and being active in the sun, working in the garden, working in the yard, walking outdoors instead of on your treadmill, and wearing a short sleeve shirt or something like that, and letting the sun hit you, there's nothing better for the body than that. So that I'll just leave that at that. So what would you say to both clinicians and lay people? What do you hope that they take away from this research?
Well, you know, again, I think we've clearly shown an association. The follow-up to that with the prospective element is that it appears to be predictive that those with BACs had a higher likelihood of developing atherosclerosis. So at minimum, it seems to be a risk predictor and would fit into many of the other things like hypertension, hypercholesterolemia in terms of risk factors. And so I think the big question is, should we be listing it on all mammograms? And I think the answer is yes, simply from the standpoint of being able to be aware of it, raising the awareness of heart disease. There's, you know, huge campaigns on breast self-awareness and breast cancer, which is great and important because we want to decrease the incidence of breast cancer. But fact is that heart disease is a much more common cause of mortality in postmenopausal women. And so having, you know, an awareness of that through their mammogram is potentially beneficial so that we can be educating women about exercise and diet and all the things that we know can be helpful in terms of risk modification. And it also allows us to track this information better and do some more detailed analyses. And then I think the next step is, as we've been talking about, now starting to not only track are they at higher risk, but if we know they have BAC and other risk factors, as we make certain interventions, can we see a regression of that, and does that regression correlate with a decrease in heart disease? I think that's kind of where we are, and like most research, we're progressing, but we're as we answer some of the questions, we're introducing new ones, and hopefully we can keep this moving forward.
Now, you have an outreach program, right? Is that correct?
Yeah. I am involved in an organization where we do local work in inner cities, bringing health care to people who may not have health insurance or have health care, as well as international areas where we take teams of providers into Africa, Haiti, Dominican Republic, Siberia. We have some new trips into Asia that are in the developmental phase and go into rural areas and rural villages and bring health care to some of the neediest people.
So if people want to be involved or volunteer, how do they reach you?
Yeah, I mean, we can use help certainly from healthcare providers, but also non-healthcare providers, because there's so much need, whether it be helping with their own hands or financial contributions or resources or whatnot. The headquarters is in Hartford, Connecticut, and the web link to the organization is called Faith Care. And the website is www.faithcare.net, FAITHCARE.net. And the the phone number of the organization is 860-904-2870. 860-904-2870. And again, it's www.faithcare.net.
Very cool. I know that your primary interest is within the category of menopause. Did you ever see that study? It's probably about 10 years old, maybe older now, from the Madonna del Grazzi Institute on Menopause in Italy, where they supplemented women who were amenorrheic for at least 1 year with 3 milligrams of melatonin at sundown, and 60% of them regained cyclicity.
Huh, that's interesting. No, I did not see that study.
Whenever I bring this up to people within the menopause community, they all say the same thing, which I agree with. You know, no one's ever reproduced this study. I don't know that anybody ever tried to, but, you know, it's taken with a grain of salt. But it's interesting to think that perhaps melatonin plays a role in kind of that first domino to certain hormonal cascades that could bring a woman's period back.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
Yeah. Listen, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today, and I hope you enjoyed it.
Well, I appreciate it. This was a wonderful opportunity. It's interesting stuff, and it was a great chance to not only talk about it, but to brainstorm a little bit and think about next steps. So thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, that next 10 year and that group that didn't have cardiovascular disease risk factors, but they still had the high BAC. I'd love to see what happens to them 10 years out from now.
Yeah, well, I got to tell my colleagues now not to put their feet up. We got to keep going.
Yeah, listen, thanks so much, Dr. Schnatz.
Thank you. Have a great day.
All right, bye-bye. So there you have it. Important discussion for the ladies and the men who love ladies out in the audience. Of course, also, we want to, we want to thank Hillary. Oh, gosh, I forgot her last name. Is it Hignan? Hignan? Let me see something here. I should have this stuff written down. We want to thank Hillary Hadigan from Heifer International. Their website is heifer.org. So in the upcoming weeks, I'm going to get with Elisa, and I'd like to put together a group of people, maybe 10 of us, that will donate $50 each, come up with $500, and buy a cow. I think that would be a fun thing to do. If you're interested, email me at onair@superhumanradio.com, and we'll do it together. I think it would be a nice gift from the Superhuman Nation. And I'm really liking what Heifer International is doing. They're spreading the truth about animal husbandry. It's not destroying the planet at all. And today is Thursday, which means tomorrow is Friday. Casual Friday tomorrow. I'll be in the studio with the lovely and talented Elisa Profumo. Hope you can tune in live. But if you can't, there's always the podcast. And thank you for listening today.